You are listening to The Strategy Behind Branding Yourself, a podcast for those looking to tap into their passion, make an impact, and begin building a brand. My name is Precious Price, and I'll be your host. Thanks for joining. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Strategy Behind Branding Yourself podcast. I am here with Nate Gray of For the Winners. Nate, how you doing?
What's good, everybody? I'm doing good. Thank you for having me on, too.
Look, no problem, no problem. So, Nate, can you tell the listeners how we met?
So, I like this story, and I feel like a lot of people don't do this enough. So pretty much I put out some content on Twitter, and Precious, she pretty much interacted with my content first, and I just thought it was like a regular interaction. I'm just like, oh, okay, cool. Like, after she interacted with my material, then she found me on another platform that I didn't really have as much engagement on, and then she started to network with me there and you know, connect with me there, and then eventually, you know, we got on call with each other, you know, got acquainted. Talk about some different things, and then now we ended up on a podcast, and that's pretty much how we met. And I feel like a lot of people don't really take advantage of that, like, of just how easy it really is to make a connection with somebody, especially if y'all do like similar things. But yeah, that's how we met. It was pretty cool.
Exactly, and I like that because I overview that on each of my episodes, because usually the people that I interview, I always meet on Twitter, LinkedIn, some type of social media platform, or just from a networking event. But I do feel like I wanted to highlight that because y'all need to be on these platforms utilizing people. Like, we go on Twitter, we go on Instagram, we just scrolling. You on the Shade Room, you just looking at stuff, but it's so much value on all of these platforms. So that's why when I interview people, I bring people on from all of this. That goes to show you that you can connect with literally anybody you want to from any of these platforms. So diving into a little bit about what you do, can you give us an overview? I mean, I consider Nate like the marketing guru of all of that shit, but just give us an overview from your standpoint of what do you do for the people?
Okay, so pretty much people have trouble finding professionals for social media marketing. So, and when I say people have trouble finding professionals, pretty much today, anybody can claim that they're a professional on social media marketing. And I mean, platforms will believe them. Even if you go to platforms like Upwork or Fiverr or whatever, you can easily put in that you graduated from Harvard and you have a marketing degree. Like, anybody can really claim that they are professionals on social media. So what my platform does is we find actual professionals for social media marketing and branding. And then we offer that on a platform in a marketplace format like Fiverr, Upwork, to people so they can have actual professionals working with them on their social media. That's what I do.
So how do you verify those people that are on your platform?
So we go through we put them through various tests. And then also we have our own interview questions as well. Also, they have to do work for free. And that sifts out a lot of people in the beginning. So
yeah.
So number one, say if we have a guy who creates advertisements. So we'll have them create a mock ad. So we'll create a company and have them create like a mock-up ad, and then have them explain why they chose to make the ad that way and why they chose to do the copy that way, and really give us a full understanding of the science behind the ad. Because a lot of people think they can just compile a video together and that's an advertisement.
Yeah.
No, it's like the science behind why advertisements work. So that's an example of what I mean. So we have them create mockups. We have them, if they're a graphic designer, we'll have them do work for free. A lot of it is paid behind the scenes though. So we'll pay a graphic designer up front and have them service clients for free just to see how they work with clients. So do stuff like that, plus our own questions. And also a cliche one is just client sell list, but I don't really put too much emphasis on that because anybody can lie and like say they work with somebody and get somebody else to say that they work with them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so that's pretty much how we like verify who is who and you know what they can and can't do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a thing that surprised me about you when I, number one, ran up on your thread. So when we talked earlier this week, I told you that I had already seen some of your content before and I had already looked at your page before. And I'm like, oh, like, yeah, this is really dope what he's doing. And then like later, a couple days after seeing it multiple times, I decided to reach out. And I think that's a piece that's really important, because even what I find with people that I work with, and I'm sure you probably have the same thing, right? People are going to watch and try to, I guess, verify you before they actually want to reach out and connect or work with you, right? So like, for instance, clients. Exactly, like clients. Like I will have people who have been following me on social media for years. They've seen the content that I'm putting out. They're on my email list, all of this stuff. And it takes, I don't know what it takes, but either way, it takes some time, because I guess they're trying to weigh their options or they're trying to see if I actually know what I'm talking about. And then they reach out. And I think that's a big piece. Have you experienced that too?
Yeah, but what I think it is though, my core belief for everything that I do is I believe that influence drives everything, and not even influence meaning like influencer, like Kylie Jenner or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
It's different
ways that you influence a person, but like it all boils down to how much influence you have over that person's mind. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much what it boils down to, and that, you know, in the verification process or whatever that you're talking about is one form of influence. That's like social proof.
Yeah.
That's like a person saying, hey, you know, that's like reviews and whatever. But it's a lot of other different forms of like influence that you, that you can have over a person to really like move them to like actually take that step and buy something from you. But yeah, I think it just all boils down to like influence. But that's a whole conversation in itself right there. But
I mean, what are these different aspects of influence that you're talking about?
So to make it like simple, me in the beginning of what I was doing, I've always believed this, but I could never like put it into like simplified like words. Cause the way that I would look at everything, I would look at it like, I would look at social media and I would look at all the most credible people on social media that you would think are all authentic, all truth, you know, even like people like Barack Obama, Will Smith, like people you think never can do anything wrong. And then I would think, I would imagine, like, what if they were all lying? Like, what if everything was fake? And then I would think, like, what are all of the factors that made me believe that what they were doing was real?
So then once I started
breaking down all of the factors that made me believe that they were real, social proof, you know, people saying that these people are credible, you know, liking, how much you like a person, how relatable they are to you.
Yeah.
That plays a lot of factor. Scarcity.
Mm-hmm.
How scarce they are to get, you know, get in touch with, that has a lot of influence over what you do. Another thing is like, if they actually, it's something called commitment. So like, if you get a person to commit to something like mentally, or even if it's just like a small commitment, like say, for example, you ever seen those little yard postings that have like a person's campaign on it or whatever?
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like
in elections and stuff.
Yeah. So like, say if Barack Obama got you to put his campaign thing in your yard, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is 9 times out of 10 free, but it was a small commitment. You know what I'm saying? That you made to this person.
Mm-hmm.
Now that small commitment is really, really major. Like that, he has a lot of influence over your buying decisions from that point on. Now, since you put his thing in your yard,
mm-hmm.
you can be like, okay, can you pass out this pamphlet?
Because you've already gotten your foot in the door. I think the technique is actually called the foot in the door technique.
Yeah, exactly.
You get them to do something small, and then you can get them to do something more gradually.
Exactly. You know, exactly. So like, that right there, that type of stuff will get me to like believe, you know, more what people are doing. And it's a few other things, but just to break everything down, like those are just a few, like how likable a person is, how scarce they are to get in touch with, social proof, how committed you are to the person. Like even if it's just like liking a photo, and then they ask you, can you comment on this? And then
yep.
you don't comment. And then they be like, can you repost? Then you repost it. And they like, can you buy this? Now you didn't bought it. You know what I'm saying?
So exactly. It's small ads that lead to the big. I think it should always be smaller ads that lead to the big ask of you asking for a sale for them to be your client or what have you, right? But it has to be those smaller asks that lead to that. You can't just jump in and say, okay, this is what I'm gonna do. Which leads to my question for you. Do you think that it takes time to build influence or to have influence, or can somebody just have that right off bat?
It all depends on your situation. It all depends on your situation. Because, like, if you think of Kylie Jenner, like, she was pretty much born into influence.
Exactly.
She got, you know what I'm saying? So, it's shortcuts to it. Like, if I was, like, I was talking about Barack Obama and Will Smith. Like, if I was to get Barack Obama and Will Smith on a podcast, be talking to them, hanging out with them every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whatever. That'll just skyrocket my amount of influence, like, immediately. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
So, like, there's shortcuts to it. But for people who don't really have the budget or the network to really, you know, get the shortcuts,
mm-hmm.
then it'll take time. So mm-hmm. That answers your question.
Okay. Yeah. No, that definitely does. So with all of this, and this is something that I didn't even mention at the beginning that I should have, you're 22, right?
Yep.
So that's a really important piece. Nate is 22 and he is a full-time entrepreneur, has a team, managed to build an entire platform, a business, and then actually is seen as an insightful person in the marketing sort of realm or field of expertise, I guess everywhere, at least on Twitter, right? But he's built that influence already. He's built that credibility up at only 22. Can you give a rundown of, like, when did this start? Was this, like, something that you were interested in when you were, like, 16, 17? Or just recently did you just start building it and dawned up on you, like, damn, I want to do this?
So just to clarify your question, you talking about how did my company come about?
No, how did you come about? You and your overall brand getting into this.
Okay. All right, so it all started back in high school, and I used to do music and stuff like that. I used to be really involved with music, whether it was me, like, directing videos, whether it was me making music myself, or, like, connecting people with other people in the music industry, or just networking with people. I was, like, really involved in the music industry. So I would just always, and I just branded everything, like, for the winners in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So it was, like, mostly, like, music. Like, even people, it's crazy. People literally still hit me up, like, about this type of stuff today. Like, literally.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So I literally, it all really just came from, like, just me just networking with a lot of people, to be completely honest, and just being known as a person who was just all really, like, into music pretty much. It started back when I was, like, 16. Me just literally just networking over a long period of time, just building, like, a lot of contact. I wasn't even selling anything or anything.
Mm-hmm. No, most people who have really strong brands, I found they don't start selling anything.
Yeah, I wasn't selling anything. It was just me just getting my name out there and me just talking to as many people as I can. Like, really just to sum everything up and make it sound as simple as possible, it was literally just me talking to as many people as I possibly could. Like, that's in every way, shape, or form. I remember one time, it was actually two occasions. It was this guy I used to do music with. His name was Curly Chuck. he was, like, really cool. But I got him seen by Wale and Sway just mm-hmm. because I literally was always talking to people, trying to figure out, hey, I had a guy, he actually used to do radio. He used to do radio with Sway.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, is it a con? I see, like, Sway has this email here. I was like, is it an email that I could, like, a backdoor type email that he has? He ended up giving it to me. I sent over not even a song or anything, but literally just a link to a tweet, and mm-hmm. then Sway had reposted it and, like, quoted it and whatever, and then I got him staying there, and, like, literally I was just literally just networking and talking to
mm-hmm.
people as I possibly did. I don't know if that really answers your question, but it's really simple. Like,
yeah, I mean, it answers my question. It does, because people, my listeners know that nearly every single episode, if I do a webinar, if I do a workshop, when you're working with me, I have this framework, right? It's like a three-part framework called value, focus, and community, right? And when you're building a brand or you have a brand that's already built, you'll notice that those three components are there no matter what. Value being, okay, what do you bring to the table? What is your story? Like, what is that passion? For you, that was music, right? And you just doing that. Whether or not you identified it and you were like, okay, this is what I want to make money in, this is what I want to brand myself around, you don't necessarily have to do that. But it's something that you like and that you spent a lot of time on. The second piece of actually like having a community around that. For you, that was artists and sort of the music industry and all of that, and actually networking and connecting people. But there's a people aspect to, I think, all of this that is really important. Me and you were talking about this earlier on the call. It's like, you can't do any of this by yourself. Like, you need people. People have to be in the equation, whether that's people who are, I guess, eating your content up and all of that, or people who are actually purchasing from you, or people who are just there on your team to support you. And then that last piece is actually like focus, right? So having a focus on how you actually deliver on that. For you, you said you were making music, you were just in that sort of realm, but you knew how you wanted to deliver on that, right? For you, that was through connecting people. But all of those three pieces are always there when you, I think, are starting out building a brand. And even furthermore, you look at Beyonce, you look at Apple, you can look at individual brands and company brands, and you can see those same three things. Beyonce is an entertainer. She has the Beehive. She does this all in the music and entertainment industry, so it makes sense for her. So that definitely makes sense as far as how you got started within that. Building it up to sort of a platform and actually having influence over people, and for people to look at you and know that you're 22 and still, I guess, take that advice, right? Because some people think that just because I'm young, I have nothing to offer, or just because I'm young, I don't know anything. What advice would you have for people who say that, you know what, like, I'm young, like, how can I get older people or people to listen to me regarding a certain area of expertise?
So it all goes back to those elements of influence that I was talking about. Number one is social proof. So, like, if people see, like, if people see something, if people keep hearing that something that you're doing is working, they'll believe what you have to bring to the table more. So, like me, I would probably start off just doing stuff for free just so I can build social proof. So, and you know, a lot of people don't like to do anything for free, but free is like a very valuable thing, because you can break up whatever you did for free in so many different ways. Like, number one, you'd be building social proof, you know, like I was just talking about, so you can show another older person, like, hey, I did this for this person, you know, now you should let me, you know what I'm saying? Or I did this,
yeah,
whatever. Then it's also helping you build up your portfolio as well. You know what I'm saying? It's like an easy way for you to build up your portfolio. And another thing is, like, people don't even need to know that you did it for free for anybody else too. So it literally, when you're marketing it, it'll just look like
exactly
a regular client that you just work with. So, like, you can use that to your advantage, because, like, in the beginning, you're going to have, like, a lot of times where you would go, like, a time period without any customers. Like, I mean, that's just the way it is sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do to just to keep your page flowing sometimes is just be, like, just give out a couple free projects to some people just to keep the flow. You know what I'm saying?
Going, exactly.
You know what I mean? Or just keep the pipeline, you know, keep the pipeline growing. So, like, so, like, going back to your question, number one is social proof.
Mm-hmm.
Social proof, definitely. another thing is, like, honestly, like, your story. Like,
mm-hmm.
how much a person can connect with you. Like, these honestly are the main two things. Because, like, your price and all of that stuff really doesn't matter.
If they don't
connect with you and they don't see other people are connecting with you. So, like, if you just create a very compelling story about yourself,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't even need to be like, you know, I was homeless for 3 years. It doesn't even need to be that, but just like a compelling story as to why you started doing what you're doing.
And yeah,
people will just buy from you just based off your story. I mean, to be honest, like, I've had people still to this day just buy from me just based off of my story. People buy stories. Like,
that's yeah, people that literally, so I'm glad you hit on that, because this is also something that I like to highlight. People don't buy products. They don't buy services. They buy the outcome that you provide. They buy into you and your story and your background. So the more relatable you can become, then that's just it. So for people who, for instances, right? I have clients who say, I mean, this is my business, but I don't want to attach myself or my face to it because, you know, I just don't think that that's going to like sell right. When really, in all honesty, you can sell more because you're creating a holistic brand around, okay, this is what you do, but this is also who you are. So if you're selling, I don't know, coffee, but you're a mom also, but your customers don't know you're a mom, you could then get other moms to buy into this whole coffee thing just based on the story you're telling around all of this.
Exactly.
Exactly. So it's really just that relatability. I like that though. So influence and social proof.
Mm-hmm. So story and social proof.
Story and social proof. Okay. I like it. So getting into our conversation surrounding branding versus marketing. What would you say is the difference between branding and marketing?
Branding is your story. So branding is whatever your story is, and marketing is getting people to buy into your story. So like that's how I would break it down. So mm-hmm. branding is I'm a mom, you know, I'm a mom who likes coffee, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, I grew up with my entire family making our coffee from scratch, and I decided to, you know, start, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
That whole little element there. And then the marketing aspect is just, I mean, that one's pretty kind of straightforward.
You pushing the product or service. That's how you push it.
Exactly. So like that's how I would break it down.
Mm-hmm. So which would you say needs to come first? I mean, to me and you, right, it may be pretty obvious, but between branding and marketing, which would you say in the process of someone building their business, they need to think about first?
Which they need to think about first?
Mm-hmm.
I would say they need to think about branding first, because everything starts with brand. I mean, you can't really have an effective marketing campaign if you don't understand who you are, because mm-hmm. marketing won't make sense. Like, just thinking about McDonald's, like McDonald's is like a happy brand or whatever, and they smiling and clowns, and that's why you see like kids smiling and whatever inside of their marketing.
So like, exactly,
yeah. So you definitely gotta start with branding first, just so you can get a clear understanding of like who you are and what you should be talking about and what you shouldn't be talking about, and then, you know, exert all of that into your marketing.
Yeah. And I would honestly agree with that. Branding absolutely should come first, because as you already stated, it's like your brand is your story, and then the marketing is how you push the story. So you can't push anything without the actual story.
Exactly.
Exactly, exactly. So when we talked, you had this, I guess, thing about psychology-backed marketing tactics, and how it's not just about getting on these platforms and getting the likes and getting the exposure, but there's an actual sort of psychology or studying human behavior behind marketing, which obviously we know, right? But can you just explain the importance of incorporating psychology into the marketing tactics that people are creating for their businesses?
Oh yeah. Well, number one, I've become kind of like a fiend. ever since I've really started digging into it, but
mm-hmm.
everything, to be honest, everything in marketing is based off of some type of psychology.
Yeah.
Like people are extremely predictable once you start really doing your research on this stuff. So for example, a lot of marketing tactics play into like people's insecurities and stuff like that. And that comes from as I was doing research on this, and this comes from a really famous psychologist named, I can't remember this guy's first name, but his last name is Freud.
So, mm-hmm.
A lot of people probably heard about him already.
Yeah.
Who Freud is. And he talks a lot about like defense mechanisms and like different mm-hmm. types of defense mechanisms and what people do to like protect themselves. So I'm pretty sure everybody knows what a defense mechanism pretty much is.
Mm-hmm.
So, like one thing that I personally use, in my marketing, is I work on people's defense mechanism. So it's something called sublimation. And what this is, it's a type of defense mechanism. And when people feel like when people are having like negative thoughts about themselves or feel like other people are having negative thoughts about themselves,
mm-hmm.
they try to do like positive things to hide those negative thoughts about themselves. So for example, if a person feels like somebody thinks they're like dumb or they feel like people are like insulting their intelligence, mm-hmm. they'll like buy a stack of books and keep it in the front of their office just so they can show people like that it's like a defense mechanism.
They'll
put that stack of books in the front of their office just to like make people think that they're smarter than they really are. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Just to hide that. So like what I would do in my marketing is like I would just talk about like how you don't want people to feel like your company is like a subpar business and stuff like that, I would dig in a lot on like, say if you're a beginner entrepreneur, a lot of beginner entrepreneurs, they have trouble with people taking them serious.
Mm-hmm.
So I would talk about like, I know like a lot of people aren't taking you serious, and in order for people to take you serious, you need to do X, Y, Z, like with my business, and it'll, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
Just play into that insecurity. So it's a lot of people who may buy from us just to hide the fact that they're small, that their business is small. So mm-hmm. they make their business is really small, but they want it to be bigger so people will take them more serious. So
yeah.
They'll buy from us just to show people that business is bigger. So like that all plays into like the psychology behind like Freud and defense mechanisms and like I was talking about like sublimation. And it's a lot of other different things that like it's just crazy how all of this stuff is really just psychology back. Like
yeah. It's amazing, and it's honestly funny because so when I was in high school, I loved my psychology class, right? Like absolutely loved it. Therefore, when I went on to college, initially I was a psychology major. Now that changed very quickly because I understood that I needed some money and I wasn't trying to be in school that long. But I then changed it to business marketing because that was kind of the closest thing to psychology. And I knew that I would still get that study of people within there. So can you talk about, so the tweet that I had responded to you, and then that's how I kind of got on the phone with you and all of that. That tweet where you were speaking about, I believe, running sales, right? And how it's okay to run a sale, but when you're running a sale or your prices are constantly discounted, it gives a certain perception to your audience or to your customer that you wouldn't necessarily want to give off to them, right?
Mm-hmm. So digging in on that, yeah. So number one, you see a lot of people on social media, they're having sales like literally every day, like... literally anything. If the sun is up, they're gonna have a sale. If they woke up and they're feeling good, they're gonna have a sale. If it's Friday, they're gonna have it, like they have a sale for literally everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why they do this is because they feel like that's the fastest way to get a customer,
to get money.
It's the fastest way to get money, and I can see why they say that, but it's a very short term fix, but it's causing a lot of long term damage.
Yeah.
So number one, like when people do that, it just makes them look very, very cheap. Like mm-hmm. it makes them look extremely cheap. I mean, you're having a sale, yeah, but if you keep doing that every other day, like think about Louis Vuitton. If Louis Vuitton started having a sale every day, you would start thinking a little bit differently about Louis Vuitton. Like you'll be thinking,
yeah, if the brand would be tarnished.
Exactly. So like, it's like it just makes you look, very, 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 very cheap. And then also like, it's going to slow down your sales because people are going to just keep waiting for the next sale.
Exactly, because they know it's always going to be at a good price because you always got good prices.
Exactly. So like, and even with that, people fall into that trap because I mean, you may be, some people like their brands to be all about deals, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
yeah.
Amazon was literally built off having deals. Mm-hmm. So, and they still are built off having deals. But Even companies like that aren't having sales like every other day, just because people aren't going to buy on a regular day. They're just only going to buy when it's a sale.
Exactly.
You can't have Black Friday, Cyber Monday every
day. I mean, I think another important piece that should also be mentioned is that when you initially, pricing is a a topic or like a conversation that people are often scared of, right? Pricing is something that's very ambiguous. And it's a question that I get a lot of, was like, how do you price what you're doing? And it's very easy to price something at say $15, $20 and say, all right, I'm running a sale and I'm always running a sale. But then it's understanding that now that you're doing that and your price point is so low, the volume and the amount of people that you have to get to hit a certain threshold of like revenue that you want is much, like it's much harder now because you have to get so many people to buy into it. But if you have, let's say for instance, a high ticket offer, something where it's to work with you, it's like $700, $1,000, what have you, four figures, right? All you need is say, I don't know, five clients a month. And then you're like, all right, I'm good. It's a lot. I feel like personally that it's a lot less stress during the process when your price is reflective of the actual value that you are providing. When I see low prices, I think that, okay, I mean, it might provide me with a little bit of value, but this obviously did not take you a lot of time to create, to formulate, to do if you're selling it for $15.
And what you're talking about right now is another psychology thing too. Mm-hmm. Like even when you see something priced low, you start to think that it's not as valuable as something priced higher.
Exactly.
Back on that, but yeah, you can go ahead and continue.
No, it's like that though. Like in my mind, that's what I think. Like when I see something, somebody running a sale, it's like all my online courses like $9 right now, and it's been $9 all week. It's like, well, damn, did you just throw it together? like that's what it gives out to me.
That's a fact. That's definitely a fact.
So either way, within this thread, you also mentioned some tactics rather than always running a sale that people can think about that can still help their business and make it seem like it's still a sale, right? And if I recall correctly, it was like limiting the amount of time that people have to actually purchase the product. So if you're saying that you're running a sale and it's only until midnight, that is then going to make people like more inclined to, okay, I need to buy this right now. It's going to create a sense of urgency within them.
Not even running that sale, like not even running the sale at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, just to go back on that, I'm going to keep just talking about psychology. So whoever was listening to this will eventually, because I just said it so many times, start looking at some psychology stuff. But like, this is all based on something called the reactance theory. So like how you react to something, reactance theory.
Mm-hmm.
So now this was founded by a guy named Jack Brehm, and it wasn't even this really long ago. It was back in in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
So it pretty much stated that whenever you take freedoms away from people that they've already had, so a freedom that they have already had for a long period of time, they're used to having it, whenever you take that away, that person is going to react like very extreme to whatever you just took away from them. So like it's kind of similar to like if you tell a little kid, like say you have like a whole room full of balls, and you tell a kid like don't touch this blue ball, right? So and now you have a red one and a yellow one, a purple one left, right? Those three balls. Mm-hmm. You took that freedom away from him, you know, from being able to touch that one ball, and he's still going to want to touch it just because you told him not to touch it. You took that freedom away.
Exactly.
But if you tell him like don't touch this red ball, the purple ball, or the yellow ball, now you start taking all of them away, now he's going to start reacting very extreme because you took all of the options away, and now he's going to want to touch anyone that he possibly can just because you told him he can't touch it.
Exactly.
So like when it goes into like putting this same type of psychology into your the stuff that you do on social media, if you literally like tell people like, okay, we're only going to be selling product or service during the first week of every month, and after that you have to wait until the following month, and if you don't pre-order during this time, you still can't buy on the first week of the next month.
Mm-hmm.
People see that they can only purchase during that first week, and they have to be eager to actually pre-order your product.
Exactly.
Literally, as soon as you talk about it, they're going to jump after it because you took that freedom away from them being able to buy all of the time to just limiting it to 1 week. Now they're like, okay, all right, now I got to really dig in here. You know, it's
like, yeah.
It just becomes like a priority. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, that's like a tactic that you can use. And a lot of people do this in like a launch format. Like, you see a lot of people do launches.
Yeah.
So, like, they'll set up a release date, and they'll, like, promote it super, super heavy up until the release date, and then they'll drop it, and then they'll close the membership off, or close off the, I don't know. You probably
see. Yeah, exactly. They'll close off the seats. You have a limited amount of seats, or you're closing it at a certain date. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So, like, that's you know, what I meant by that and where it actually came from.
For those. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that makes sense. And I think a piece that should be highlighted here as well is, Nate, with you even talking about psychology and integrating that into your overall process of when you're branding or building your business or what have you. But then even on my end, right, like, I push strategy very heavy. When you look at psychology is a strategy that you need to use. And I push to people all the time. The message I say is you can't just go out here launching shit. You can't just go out here like, oh, like, I'm about to create a business. I got my Instagram page and then that's just it. It has to be a holistic, like, you need to find some insight for why you are doing this. How is this actually going to help people, and how can you make it work? There has to be a strategy behind all of that. I mean, that's the whole point of this damn podcast, right? It's to have a strategy behind your entire brand in general. So I think the fact that you're pushing these, like, psychology tactics and saying, okay, you can't just look at people who are just pushing tactics to build your followers. I mean, yes, you can do that, but
I've been trying to tell people, that psychology stuff is really a cheat code. Like, mm-hmm. it's really a cheat code. Like, you can literally predict how pretty much anybody, like, the way Donald Trump and all these people won these campaigns, it's off of data and psychology. Like, that's what they can literally predict what you'll do and how you'll do it just because of psychology and data. Like, it's really a cheat code. That's what I'll just be trying to push, man.
Exactly. So if you have not yet, I mean, we've been talking about this psychology stuff and psychology back marketing for like 30 minutes now. So if you have not went in on Google and just looked it up, looked the term up, do that like right now, because even I did it, right? And there are some really good resources that you can find that are going to give you an intro into, if for instance, you are hesitant about pricing or you don't know how to price your products, it gives you insight into that too. Like anchoring, right? Like giving somebody a certain price, but then showing them that, okay, this is discounted by this much. You can't just give them a discounted price. Show them the actual value. That's why you usually see somebody saying, oh, this is like a $2,000 value, but you're getting it for $50. I mean, that don't make no sense, but yeah, that's the topic and that's the term for all of that. So my next question for you, mm-hmm. when should somebody hire a marketing professional? Like, when should that happen? During what stage?
To do what, though?
When they're building a business.
Well, this is...
Like, they have a product, and they're looking to actually get their product out to people now. When should they hire a marketing professional versus when should they maybe hire somebody who's in brand strategy?
All right. Now, I'm not trying to be difficult right now, but
you about to be difficult.
Are you talking about a person who literally just started?
I'm talking about somebody who, let's say that they have been doing their due diligence and they've been building this up, doing their research, everything that they need to do. And yeah, they just launched their business. Let's say like a month ago.
Okay. Well, in that case, you should not.
Mm-hmm.
I would tell people they shouldn't, because you don't have enough data on who your customers actually are.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have enough information on your actual business. It'll be a waste of your money in the absolute beginning, because you don't have enough information on your own business yet. You don't know it yet.
So mm-hmm.
you can hire somebody else to. They won't even know what to do for real, because you don't know who your customers are. Because 9 times out of 10, they're going to give you some type of questionnaire. That's going to talk about who your customer is, where they located, what type of things do they like, do they, you know what I'm saying? So
exactly,
you know, you don't have enough information about your customers and your business yet to actually try to hire somebody to do that. But I feel like on the other end of the spectrum, if you were trying to do something with branding, you could hire somebody in the beginning to help you with brand, because that'll help you drive your marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're just starting out, you can get a branding consultant to walk you through some stuff on your branding, just to get that in place so your marketing will be official. Then once you start getting some cash in, then once you start getting more data in on your customers and stuff like that, then that's when you can hire a professional to start doing marketing stuff for you. So I mean, that's how I'll go about it.
Yeah. So at the beginning, it should more so be like a branding person, because how I think about it, right? When I think about branding, I think about branding is, this is who you say you are. This is who you say you want to be or how you want to be perceived. Marketing is, okay, this is what it actually is. So at the beginning, if you're just starting out, you need to define all of those parameters around, what do you want your overall brand to look like? What do you want your overall business to look like, right? Like, what defines success for your business specifically? And then once you have all of that in order, you understand all of these different pieces of your audience. You understand who they are, where they play, and all of that. You then feed that information to somebody like you, for instance, and they can, and then you can build up a marketing strategy. Like, a brand strategy is a lot different from a marketing strategy. You can build up a marketing strategy to actually begin pushing the brand that you've now cultivated with that person.
Exactly. Yep.
Precisely. Okay, so one last piece that I really want to touch on with you is, how do you get started building a team? I know we talked about this earlier, but I want you to drop the gems for the people, for the listeners, right? How do you get started building a team, right? Because it's hard. I'll preface it by saying this, and I'm going to say the same thing I said earlier when you chewed my ass out. Either way, I'll say this. It is hard, or I perceive it as being hard, to get someone to buy into your passion. So a lot of people know that, like, I am a solopreneur. Like, I do this by myself right now.
Let me stop you right there. So number one, that's the first mistake right there.
What?
Nobody cares,
but I'm saying this.
But nobody cares until you get big. So everything that you should be thinking about in the beginning is, what can I do to improve this person's situation? And when you start thinking about it like that, what can I do to improve this person's situation? That's when you start building a team very, very fast, because you're doing something for them.
Exactly.
Like, everything is centered around them. Like, I have people who work with me completely for free, just mm-hmm. because I provide them so much value that they're like, they even sometimes ask, like, wow, I feel like they're asking me, what else can they do for me? Because they feel like I'm giving them too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll be like, give them as much as you possibly can.
So to frame the question, it is, in order for people to, I guess, buy into, because what I was going to say is, there's this perception that, how can I get somebody to buy into my dream, right? Like, my business and my brand is something that I came up with and I love and it's my passion. And some people have this perception that it's hard to get people to buy into that. Now, you're saying that the way that you get people to buy in is to not make it about you and your dream and your business. You make it about them and how you can help them. It's more of like an exchange of value, rather than looking at it like, okay, this person is just working for me.
Right. So, number one is like, I know it sounds like, what I'm saying is like, number one, nobody would care to buy into your thing in the beginning. That's just how it is.
Exactly.
Nobody really care, but this is how you make them care. You have to show people the value in your business by inputting it into their lives. So, like, people will, like, appreciate your business and buy into the vision of what you're doing once they experience it being used on them. So,
mm-hmm.
like, people buy into the vision of what I'm doing with my platform because I'm using my platform as something of value to them. So, like, for example, I have a content writer, and she's having trouble with her social media marketing on Twitter. She's having trouble with graphic designs, like finding a good graphic designer to do her stuff for like the platform she's on, and also a website. So I don't care too much about buying, giving her my mission statement and buying and having her be like, hey, this is my dream of what I want to do when I get, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't do that. What I do is like, hey, you know, my business can do this for you. And then now when she sees like, wow, like For the Winners is doing all of this stuff for me, like now I can see like what it can do for somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
You buy into the value because now it's impacted you.
That, and I like how you just said that, buy into the, get people to buy into the value by giving them the value, not trying to get people to buy into your vision. You know what I'm saying?
Just by telling them that this is my vision.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So at what point during branding and building your business would you say that someone needs to, I guess, start building their team around it? Like, is there a certain point, or it just whenever?
I would say once you start, I want to put a dollar amount on it so bad, but I can't because there's so many different things that people are in. But like, once you start getting sales running through on a consistent basis, that's when you can start bringing on the team. Now, why I say that is because, number one, oftentimes people start something and they find out they don't like it. So, like, you don't want to bring people on and then now all of a sudden you don't like the thing anymore. And then now you kind of forced to stay there because you done brought these people in and told them all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? So, like,
yeah.
So, number one, you should wait because of that reason. And then number two, you should wait to see if your idea actually works or not. Because then that's another thing. You don't want to get people to buy in and then you waste their time. You know, you wait. Well, yeah, pretty much you just waste their time because your idea failed. So, like, you don't kind of want to just. You're still taking that risk regardless, but you're taking less of a risk once you actually start seeing sales flowing. So pretty much when you start getting sales flowing in on a consistent basis, that's when you can start thinking about, okay, how I should build my team. And then not to talk your ear off about it, but last thing is you don't know what you actually need in the beginning until you actually starts moving. So you can bring on, I don't know, a web developer or something. You may not even actually need the person, but you thought you did just because, you know, whatever. But, you know, that's how I answer that question.
Yeah, and that makes sense. And honestly, initially, I've always heard people say, or I've always thought that it's better to bring people on in the beginning so that there's more of an affinity to everything that you're doing, right? So I know a couple people have startups, right? And literally within the ideation phase, they're just sharing the idea with friends, sharing the idea with people that, you know, they meet. And then other people are buying into that idea, buying into the value, like we said earlier. And then now they're like, you know what, how can I help? How can I like assist with this? How can I be on the team? And then that made sense to me. But what you're saying now, as far as like, you don't know what you need. And I would 100% agree with that, right? Like at the beginning, you don't know what you need. There's this whole perception around, like initially, honestly, there's a perception around everything before you actually do it. So the perception around entrepreneurship, oh, like I'm working for myself, I can do what I want. Like, no, like now, like you're still working for your clients and you're working even more now. And now you have to discipline yourself enough to actually get up and do it. But then this perception around like, I guess what your business is going to look like or what your brand is going to look like when 9 times out of 10, once you get some time into it, once you actually start doing it, it goes completely left. You learn from it, but it goes completely left. So I would honestly now agree with you as far as like, once you get to a certain point, as far as sales, as far as understanding your business, as far as like really getting into the process of it, that is when you start building a team. Now, however, I do think that prior to that, you don't necessarily need to have a team, but you got to have mentors. You got to have advisors. You got to have somebody who's kind of helping and directing, right?
I agree. I definitely agree with that because that's something that I'm searching for now. So, like, I definitely agree with that 100%.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, exactly. So that's kind of the clear delineation between that. So what's next for you? Like, what's the plan for this year, by the end of this year? What you looking to accomplish? When you turn 23?
May.
May. Oh, next month. Okay. Okay. So what's on the plan? Like what's going on with For the Winners?
I'm focused very heavy on content right now. Like we working on a couple of content series.
Mm-hmm.
So we have one content series called we have one content series called What I Would Do. So, and this is based off of, number one, it's like a playoff of a show called What You Would Do. And it's pretty, I don't know if you all ever seen that, but it's a playoff of words with that. But what this show is about is like, a lot of people, they don't have like friends they can go to for like business advice or to talk about things they have going on in their, business. A lot of people, especially when they start out, they don't have that circle.
True.
Like-minded people and stuff like that. Then also, another thing is like people think that they need to go to a big guru to get like advice or at least like simple advice on things that they should do. So we're making a whole show where it's like people like me or like other people who are in different industries that they're in, and the people come onto the show and they have that friend, that friend, and it's literally like a conversation. They're talking about their business and we just telling them what we would do if we were in there, if we were in that situation. It's like a regular conversation you would have with one of your friends. Like, what would you do if so-and-so happened?
Yeah.
So like we launching that. We have a regular show coming on, a regular podcast show with other entrepreneurs. And then we have a couple of other, like, more fun type of shows, like game type content, like that coming. So everything this year just focused on a lot of content, video and audio. Like, that's what's coming.
Why is that? Why are you focusing on content?
Cause that's what sells right now.
Exactly.
that's what sells.
That's what sell. Like all of these, like you looking at TikTok, you looking at all these social platforms. Yeah. Content is selling, and big companies are now buying into content, and they're buying into people like you and me to create content because we have that influence. So Nate, what is the best way that people can keep in contact with you and find out more information about For the Winners?
All right, so. The way everybody can get more information, find out more about me. Number one, I'm not going to even give you the ads to my to the company because I'm building my personal brand. So come directly to me. So you can find me on every platform at Nate two times NATE two, the number two X like XYZ S as in sun, and that's literally on every platform. You come in, ask me any type of questions. You know, I'm always free to ask me questions if you just want to come in and say hello. I don't know if you're just one of those people who try to just DM me something weird or something you think is funny. I don't know. But just hit me up. You know, I'm just a regular dude. Just hit me up and ask me anything, talk to me. You know.
Perfect. What's the weirdest thing somebody DM'd you? Hit you up and DM'd you.
Oh man, what's the weirdest thing somebody DM'd me?
Weirdest, most interesting, most memorable.
I don't know, for some reason, this is a little explicit, but like for some people get this idea, like this image in their head that I'm rich or something. So I have a lot of OnlyFans people. They like to frame, like they come in with like a little question, and then all of a sudden, I don't know how, but an OnlyFans link.
They dropping the link.
Somehow, like those are weird ones I've been getting lately, but like, they might, I'm just like Bill Gates or something, but like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's hilarious. OnlyFans is something we did not touch on, but next time, definitely next time. But okay, Nate, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. Yeah, and for the listeners, like, let me know what you think. Definitely hit Nate up. I'm going to drop a couple resources in the show notes as far as like for things that you can look up and resources you can look at related to psychology backed marketing, and then just the link to Nate's info and how you can just reach out to him and ask any questions.
Sounds good. This podcast is dope. Thanks for having me on.
Look, no problem. Hey guys, thanks so much for listening to the Strategy Behind Branding Yourself podcast. If you love this episode, please go on your social media and share, subscribe, and review. Let me know you're listening by tagging me at Precious C. Price. That's at P
PRECIOUSCPRICE. I can't wait to chat with you guys.